Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anne, who's here to talk with us about her experience of participating in a practice weekend at the monastery. Welcome, Anne.
Hi, Makota. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for being with us today. So,
it
a practice
is
weekend.
My absolute pleasure. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, mine too. And what a fun topic to talk about, a practice weekend. What a brilliant idea.
Who thought of that? That was a brilliant
idea.
I
know.
Yeah.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your experience.
Well, I guess I have to start with the questionnaire that Sherry and Ashwini sent out, you know, asking people why they weren't coming to the monastery, and that really made me look. And I realized because of Project Joy, a really powerful call where Sherry was talking to someone about how when conditioning is arguing against something, it's because it's already arisen an authentic nature. I don't know how you would say that. And so the campaign is it's not going to argue against something that isn't already there and in the heart. And so I really got to look at that and realize I think they were talking about the monastery as our spiritual home. And so I was so grateful for the opportunity to look, and I realized, yeah, I need to get there. And I didn't realize until I was there and had such a powerful experience. It was where you get there Friday afternoon for an orientation, and then there's group Friday night, and then working meditation on Saturday, which I just thoroughly enjoyed. And an opportunity to have guidance, and then to work, assignments are given, and then to have group on Sunday. So it's basically Friday night through Sunday lunch. And what I was going to say is I didn't realize until I was there that one of the arguments for not going was, well, you know, it's not even 3 days. And Sherry always says that ego can last for 3 days and hold out. So it's not even worth going. You know, but all my head
says ego, right?
Yeah, it was so powerful,
so powerful and so good to see. I love what you said earlier that it's ego only resists that which the heart has already said yes to. In a way, that there's that heart jumping up and saying yes, I want to participate, I want to be involved, recognizing that the monastery is the home of the heart, and so seeing that resistance and just saying yes and signing up. And it's so funny, like you described the voices, what they want to talk about, why even bother, you know, just going for 2 or 3 days. like they care, right? It's funny too that they might want to argue about going on a longer retreat too, but just not buying any of that malarkey and showing up and participating. And it sounds like this huge, full immersion, beautiful experience, completely supportive of the heart, yeah?
Yeah, and I was saying that I really loved working meditation. I loved just, you know, participating and being a contribution and just getting my work assignment and taking direction. Mm. It was just a lovely experience. And I think what was so beautiful about it was and I'm sure anybody who's been to the monastery has had this experience, is just the vastness of the space, that how much it holds, the silence, whatever we bring to it, and that each person gets what they need, you know, from wherever they are in their journey on the path.
You make such a great point right there, too, that maybe even especially in something like a practice weekend, that each person kind of gets exactly what they need wherever they're at in the journey, that it's kind of it's perfectly fitted to wherever they're at. And then part of the experience too is participating in projects and working to keep the home of the heart, this beautiful place, looking as wonderful as it can, and a beautiful representation of our practice. And you described the wonderful experience of spaciousness that occurs in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, it was, you know, it's just how exquisitely life comes together and with perfect timing. For, you know, it was just what I needed at the exact right moment. And I just came away with a commitment to getting to the monastery regularly, you know, particularly for those of us who live within driving distance. We're very lucky that, you know, we don't have to get on a plane and drive, fly 5 hours. And so I just really want to make that, include that as part of my, in my annual schedule, you know, to get to the monastery regularly.
I love that. Yeah, coming away with this deeper commitment to get to the monastery regularly and just recognizing, gosh, for those of us that live within driving distance of the monastery, how lucky to have that, that amazing place there available that, you know, we could go there. And even if we're in the middle of a busy work week and that kind of thing, we can show up for a practice weekend, and there we are, immersed in that environment.
Yeah, and I love that you use that word place, because one of the things, I may have heard it before, but I heard it anew in group with Sherry when I was there, was that, you know, as people are new and come to practice, we encourage them to put down their pen and paper rather than trying to write everything down and get it, but just let it wash over us, because it's a place that we're going to. We're practicing going to a place. And to me, what's so wonderful is we practice being in that place, going to that place when in our lives, and then when we go to the monastery, we're just immediately in that place. I mean, that place is what the monastery represents.
Ah. Gosh, it's so great. As you were talking about that, what was dropping in for me is just, yeah, that wonderful experience of what the monastery offers is an experience that being in that place can provide. And it's my experience anyway, egocentric karmic conditioning wants to gather information and take notes and kind of get knowledge and that kind of thing. And what we get from the experience of the monastery, it's not that. It's an experience. It's that happens in the kind of settling into the schedule and being there. And like you described, there's a way in which we can be in that place, having that experience and kind of having that full immersion experience. And then as we go back out into our lives, we're kind of carrying that experience with us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Carrying that with us. Yes. And there's something just so powerful about the silence, and letting it kind of not only letting group wash over us, whatever people are talking about in practice, but letting that silence wash over us and being there and letting, I guess what occurs to me is letting whatever needs to be healed arise in that silence. And then there's room to attend to it. There's the space to attend to it. And as that, you know, one of our t-shirts says, acknowledge, embrace, accept, and let go. There's that ability to do that there in such a, I don't know, such a deep way.
Yeah, yeah. In that spaciousness, in that silence, there's a way that whatever needs to be attended to, healed, can be brought up, acknowledged, embraced and let go, like you said. It's remarkable as you were describing that, you know, as you're talking about the experience there at the practice weekend, I keep getting a sense of the vastness, the spaciousness, and the silence. And it's incredible that all of that can occur in just a weekend, you know, but it really sounds like that happens.
Yes, and I was so struck by the kindness. Just so struck about how everything is structured in a way that is so kind. And I was just thinking, Lakota, as you were talking about how, you know, we I don't know, the word that came to me was tether. You know, we tether ourselves to the meditation cushion every day. We tether ourselves to practice so that we can be grounded in authentic nature and center, however you want to talk about that. And I just realized in this process how important it is to tether myself to the monastery, because that's like, you know, home base, you know, and to participate and be, you know, contribute to, what do you call that? The vibrancy of that spiritual home.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 'Cause it takes all of us, right? That's
yeah.
just, to to tether ourselves to the monastery, to our spiritual home, and to participate and to help steward this wonderful place and to experience the kindness that is in all of that.
Yeah, so I would just encourage everybody, you know, get thee to the monastery.
Yeah. I'm in. Get thee to the monastery. It's a good thing. Well, I see we're pretty much at the hour here. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we end?
Oh, just deep gratitude to everyone who makes practice possible. It's an amazing blessing.
Yeah, deep gratitude. Amen. Well, thanks again so much, Anne, for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Lakota, for doing these calls.
My pleasure, truly. Well, take care.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Good night. All right, Michael. We'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lakota, and thank you, Anne. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I have spent part of my day at that beautiful place that those folks were just talking about. And I will tell you that there's a group, an amazing group of people there right now doing what Anne was talking about. And the place is looking gorgeous with their assistance. And it's wonderful
I'm
to
sure.
have them there. It's such a pleasure to have them there practicing.
Great.
Yep. They did not lie to us, Michael. Everything they said.
It is true. It's my experience as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And I love that idea of tethering to the monastery and tethering to practice. And then Lakota brought in stewardship. And I thought that just really stuck out for me from that conversation.
Mm-hmm. It's such a grown-up place to be, you know, instead of the you know, egos, what's in it for me, what can I get, how do I, but to say, wait a minute now, I've already received an awful lot here. I want to make sure that other people have a chance to receive what I've received, so I'm going to do my part to keep it nice.
Wow.
It's different from we grow up, you know, and everything is mom and dad's responsibility, assuming we have those people or whoever that is, you know. It's up to mom and dad, and we get what we get because we're kids, right? And that's kind of for an awful lot of the time, that's about as far as it goes. So for some reason that is, I don't really define it, but for some reason I'm just owed this. You know, I just kind of deserve this, because I need more than other people. And then we grow up and we say, oh well, actually, I've received so much. I think it's really time to give back. And then we find out that, oh my gosh, that's where the fun is. That's where the good time is.
Exactly. Yeah, it reminds me of that quote that we grow up spiritually when we look for what we can give rather than what we can get.
Exactly so. That's the one. Yeah.
Yes.
Because we're made happy by what we do, not by what we get.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I was just doing some of the email class and talking about somebody was talking about being present and realizing that being present in life, participation is just automatic. It's just a given. Participation in life is being present. They're the same thing. We don't have to be present and do something when we're present. We are doing something, and it was just such a great reminder and such a
kind of a way of putting together what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Hmm.
I have some announcements here.
Good.
A last-minute cancellation has opened up a spot in the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, April 26th through May 3rd.
Ooh.
So if you are ready to do the courageous work of ending self-hate and finding compassion for yourself and others, life is offering you a fabulous opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
This retreat
what?
At the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Mm-hmm. Once again, in the email class, you know, for an awful lot of my responses could be, have you done a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat? It might be good to do a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. You know, it's just one of those things that kind of answers a lot of questions, speaks to an awful lot of issues. So I hope there's somebody out there who says, yeah, that's me. I want to do that. I'm ready. Here I go.
Yes. Yes, great. And to get away from the daily routine and find support for awareness practice, come to the monastery for the practice weekend at the monastery May 5th through 7th.
The very kind that Anne and Lakota were just talking about, right?
Exactly so. Exactly so. It starts with Friday evening group with the guide and continues to Sunday morning group with the community. And participants will enjoy practice, activities, and guidance in the peace and beauty of the monastery grounds.
Yep. That's the truth.
That's the truth. The process of fear is how our life energy is used by ego to maintain the ego. Join Sherry and Ashwini in a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, May 15th through 20th in North Carolina. It's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate and to practice life's joy.
That sounds like fun. I think I'm going to do that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, I want to apologize. Do you hear that clicking, crackling sound?
Yes, occasionally.
Okay. I'm afraid it's my phone. It was kind of acting up during Project Joy this morning, so I apologize if it's really annoying.
Yeah, it's not too distracting to me, and I can hear you
okay,
well.
Okay, good.
So that's good.
Okay, all right, good. Thank you.
Good. And so for these and all other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1 and focus on one topic. And 5 minutes is always really helpful.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, Sherry, you're welcome. I think we are ready here.
I think so.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Todd.
Well, hello, hi, Todd.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Great. Thank you very much. I kind of feel like I'm doing a little double duty here because I was on Project Joy just Monday. I'm wondering if I might...
We're hearing about caterpillars, but I bet other things are going on in your life.
Okay. I was going to say maybe I could step aside and let a colleague get on, but I do actually have something that I'd like some guidance and maybe some perspective on.
Good.
Yeah. What I've been... noticing, it seems like it's a process that's sort of been developing in there's been some shifting of I guess behaviors is a way to state it perhaps, over the last year, in the sense of the content would be socializing with folks, with people out in the world. And being in contact via phone or text or emails. And what I've noticed over the past year and up to maybe just last month is this social activity has really tapered off, and there's a lot less of it. And mm-hmm. I was just exploring about, I'm wondering, I'm hearing it being characterized as maybe moving towards quietism, but it doesn't necessarily feel like that. That's more of a characterization of the voices, perhaps. But I'm seeing it more as ego, in my experience of that socializing and being in conversation with folks and social settings and family gatherings and stuff, was it felt like ego was really looking to be reflected. And it feels like that's kind of dropped away. There's not that push to be, I guess, acknowledged by family and friends as much, and to be in kind of constant contact. It's kind of, there's been a lot more space in between contacts, and recording and listening is a big part of it. I'm so much more comfortable with myself and just being alone,
mm-hmm.
and enjoying the time of recordings and listenings and practice and sitting. And it's like all that socialization time, I was kind of at one point a real social butterfly, kind of wanting to be the center of attention in most social settings, to gratefully and kindly declining a lot of invitations to do that and just being on my own and practicing and just, I don't know if any of that makes any sense, but that's kind of feels like how it looks to me.
Yeah. Well, I think the quietism that is pointed at has more to do with the desire to just sit down and look at a blank wall, because you know that's a way to make yourself happy. Rather than discouraging us from practicing.
Oh. Yes, yep. Okay, I see that. Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. Because socializing, you know, there are all kinds of ways to be around people and to be in the world and to be engaged and participate in that sort of thing. And socializing in the way that you're describing is rarely on anybody's list. Anybody who has awareness practice as their focus, because as you say, the nature of it is to have the ego be reinforced, to be the center of attention and you know, reinforce the ego. So that's not the antidote to quietism that probably the Buddha would encourage us toward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think it's a natural progression for us as we become happier with simply being present. Than making choices away from things that take us out of presence just sort of follows.
That makes a lot of sense, because I find in those, as you said, you know, the social gatherings, it is a real challenge to you know, practice presence. It's not that, but it's just like you said. I think you're right. It's as I'm looking at it. It's those choices and the progression as practice progresses, the choices of how I want to spend my time. Do I want to spend my time reflecting ego, or do I want to spend my time practicing being in this here now?
Yeah.
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 And then when you're called to be in situations with people, it becomes a different experience. Right? Then it's practicing being present in the presence of other folks, which can be very challenging.
Oh, yeah. It really is. It really is.
Yeah, it's that fourth level of practice.
Fourth level of practice. And what dropped in as you're saying that, Sherry, is I go to that place of our communication email class where we practice facilitation skills.
Mm-hmm.
I go to that place of reflecting, drawing out, clarifying, so I give myself the best opportunity to be present to the other person.
Yes, and we can feel ego actually disappearing in that, right? Because we're practicing just being presence, being a mirror for the other person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, yeah, good. I really appreciate the perspective and the feedback and just see it as a natural progression of practice and making choices that I guess in a way feels like for me supports the heart and doesn't reinforce and encourage ego.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you just want to be around people, you can always come and be around us.
Absolutely. And I try to do that usually for long periods of time. Just looking at my schedule and I was listening to Anne and Lakota, and I'm like, okay, when am I scheduling my next visiting monk program? I'm on the visiting monk thing. So I'm like, okay, let's look at our schedule. And
which month is mine? Which month has my name on it?
I love the month. There's something about the Visiting Monk program. We've heard it many times on Open Air and on Good News Update. But that program there, I love it.
That's the one, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's a big endorsement.
All right.
So thank you so much, Sherry. And
thank you, Todd.
I really appreciate it. And thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Todd. And Sherry, I love that exploration of socialization, and not really socialization, but how we are with other people and how we choose the kinds of interactions we want to have with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it can be anything, can't it? That's a perfect example, isn't it, of it's not what, it's how. So it's not being around people that you know, if we could hear a voice that said, oh, well, you know, if you're going to practice awareness, then you just can't be around people. That's not it at all. It's how we are with people. It's how we are with everything.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Laura from San Diego.
Oh, hello, Laura.
Hello.
What's going on?
So I wanted to ask a little bit about sleep. So I feel like I'm really challenging the karmic patterns a lot in my life. And it seems to, there's a couple things going on that I'll get woken up. And so one of the things that I've used a lot is the recording and listening around it, whether it's recordings I've made or listening to an archive or, you know, something that's just going to be supportive. And so this email class, what I'm looking at, for the last few days, I have been up for 2 hours at a stretch, and I've heard you talk about, and even in some of the email classes, how sleep is really a place where people can be really tortured. And and so sleep is really never, problems have never really been an extended issue for me. But lately it feels like it's where conditioning's really coming in and just messing with me, and I'll be up for a couple of hours, and then I have to get up, and then I'm really tired, and then I feel like I'm more susceptible to getting identified around anything and everything, but especially around this issue that I'm looking at in the email class, around, you know, just being with family members who I love, and yet we're I'm bumping up against kind of, you know, his karmic dance and my karmic dance, and just so I'm wanting to like to just look at how to how to be with that differently.
Let me ask you. So when you say you're up for a couple of hours in the night, what do you mean by that? You mean you're awake or you're up running around?
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm awake and attempting to, you know, sometimes I'll do the daily recitation. Sometimes I'll listen to a recording. I'm really practicing and like not going to the conversations of conditioned mind. But it
can
take
a while. You're in bed. You're lying there.
I'm in bed. I stay in bed.
Okay. All right. And even with doing the daily recollection or listening to recordings, you still stay awake.
It's an interesting process because I feel like I'll fall asleep and then I'll be woken up again. And I,
uh-huh.
and I start
and that's,
over.
That's key, isn't it? It feels
yeah.
like you're something is waking you up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It is. You can trust your feelings. Okay. And then you'll go through the same process.
Yes.
You'll listen and you'll nod off again, fall asleep for a while. And
yes.
Then
and
you
it
wake
generally
up again.
Tends to be around, you know, between 1, 2, 2, you know, and between the 1:30 and 3 o'clock hour. And then I'll fall asleep and then I'll wake up like at 4. And then it's that whole process again. And I, you know, I'm supposed to be up at 5 or 5:30 and then I'll end up like snoozing and then sleep in and then wake up in a jolt tired and identified and frustrated. And then there's no time for my practice. And then I find this on my, I'm in a cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, the point at which the intervention can take place is the waking up with a jolt and being tired, irritable, upset, that sort of thing. Because that's the payoff for the whole thing, right? If you wouldn't do that, then conditioning would have no reason to play these games with you. Yeah, that's what the whole thing is going for. And so with sleep, you know, it's the range, right? I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm scared, okay? Because you know, how long can I do this? And the anxiety now pretty soon during the day, I'm having anxious thoughts about the night because I'm not going to sleep and that sort of thing. So the very honest to Buddha, the very best thing that we can do is to lose that. Now, that, you know, we could say that all the time because it's really true. That is the thing, that upset, anxious, frustrated conversation is what we need to lose, period. Whatever it is that it gets us upset about, because the upset is what hurts us. So, you know, the folks who research things like this say that's what takes a toll on the immune system, right? That when you get upset, that affects the immune system, not all of the other things that the voices would tell you are the problem.
I can totally get a feel for that. All that cortisol running through the body is not good for the body.
It's not. It's really not good for the body. Yeah. And so that's the first place is to stop that. Just don't let it do that. So that's one of those where, hello, life, I'm ready. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Here I am. So I had one of those recently. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But something happened where I got very little sleep. And what went through is, well, you know, if I need to take a nap, I will. Now, I haven't taken a nap since I was 5 years old, okay? But, you know, it's always an option.
And what followed it immediately was, but you know, I don't get tired during the day. Okay?
Mm.
Are you with me on that one? No. So if the connection between how much I sleep and being tired during the day is broken, that is a giant step toward ending the torture.
Okay, so let me reflect. So that connection between the story of how much I, or the story of getting tired throughout the day, or I don't know if it's also being said that the energy that I have throughout the day is connected to how much sleep I get.
Yeah,
each night.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
It's not.
Yeah,
and it's not. All those connections need to be broken. Every piece of that story needs to be taken apart because it's not true. And it's not your experience that it's true. Okay, so we all know the times when, you know, maybe it's so you go on vacation, you're in a way different time zone or whatever, but you're so excited to be there that you're not tired. It's like, well, maybe you should go take a nap. No, I don't want to take a nap. I don't want to miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or the other part of it is, you're tired, you know, the voice, oh, I'm tired, or you're tired probably, and then you get upset. You're not tired, right?
Mm.
So again, there's all that adrenaline rushing through the body, and you're not tired at all. So realizing that how much of it is a story, now it doesn't mean you're not ever going to get tired, because maybe you will, but breaking those connections is key. That way, if you are tired and you want to take a nap and that fits in your day, you can do it.
What I really heard in that is being able to, if I'm getting out of the conversation and breaking those connections, then I actually have the experience of being able to accurately read what the body's telling me.
Exactly so. Exactly so. And with something like the daily recollection, which is a great thing to say at night, in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, it is great, but you've got to say it with joy. If you say it because you're going to bore yourself to the point that you'll go to sleep, or conditioning will get so frightened that you're going to get present that it puts you to sleep, kind of like sitting in meditation, right? Then that's not the attitude of mind that works, right? What works is being happy, being there where you are, having the experience you're having. Now, how you can get there really quickly is there are none of those people around bugging you, right? Everybody else is asleep.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right? Everybody's asleep between 1 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Practically everybody you know is asleep, right? Or you hope they are, right?
Yes.
So it's your time. It is your time to focus completely on you. You can just meditate. You can hum songs to yourself. You can, make endless gratitude lists. You can really have fun. You can relax the body completely, you know, just get so comfortable and just have a really good time without anybody wanting anything from you.
And, you know, Sherry, that's the interesting piece is because I can feel that's why it feels like it's conditioning waking me up, because I wake up like tense. I wake up scared and it's that I feel blessed that when I do the daily recollection, it feels kind of like a warm blanket that's kind of embracing me to protect me and give me, you know, something to focus my attention on versus that. And I feel like I have to bring a lot of presence to relaxing the body because the muscles are tensing before I even realize they're tensing.
Yes.
And there's this like impending doom, right?
Yes.
That's right there.
Yes. Yes. And this is your opportunity to get to the other side of that. So
imagine that she is one of your children who wakes up in the night frightened, bad dreams, whatever it is, and you're going to soothe her and comfort her so that she feels safe. So that every time she wakes up into comfort and safety.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So if it was one of your children, and he was going through this, you'd sleep with him. Right. So that when he woke up, you'd be there. You wouldn't go off, and then he wakes up and he's frightened and he's crying and screaming, and then you come and calm him down again. He goes back to sleep. You go to bed. He wakes up screaming and crying. You know, you would stay there.
Yes.
And that's what we want to do for ourselves. Until that that time is so treasured, so precious to you, so that you start sleeping through it. Right? And you'll feel the loss of it. I speak from experience here. Perhaps you can tell. You'll feel the loss of it. You start wanting to wake yourself up, right? Because you miss it. And you're grateful for the times when you can't sleep for whatever reason, because you get to go to that beloved place. And we deep practice this is, right? This is, this is deep practice. We were talking with Todd about the being with people, you know, the fourth stage of practice. You know, we sit in meditation, we walk in meditation, we work in meditation, and then, God help us, we converse in the mind of meditation, right? And this is this is another one of those places. It's a place that conditioned mind, ego, just wants to make a problem, not to have us realize, oh, this is a truly powerful place of practice.
All right. Well, I have some fun places to practice with then.
You do. You do. Yeah. And a good companion to do it with.
Yes. And I just wanted to let you know that each not every night, but a lot of nights, our youngest son, he likes to go to sleep listening to the recordings of the Project Joy shows.
Oh, my goodness.
He loves listening to them. And he knows you guys by name. It relaxes him. He's had some issues kind of with where the voice is coming in to scare him around death. And it's one of the ways, especially at night, and it's one of the ways in which a tool we've used to assist him in going to sleep at night. And, it's been just such a beautiful thing. So I have one earbud in my ear. He has one in his. And he's usually out within, 10 minutes max. And it is just, just warms my heart. He really loves it. So thank you on a whole other level.
You know, we talk about that all the time, right? How the conversation is everything, right? And how we can just be listening to a conversation about practice, and it just brings us to center. And he's there already. That is beautiful. Ooh.
Yeah.
Perhaps a little monk in the making.
That's great. I love it.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Sherry, that is fascinating. All of it. The opportunity to spend time with ourselves and treasure that at night. And then her son. Wow. Listening to Project
Isn't that
Joy.
Beautiful? Yeah, that, of course, is my dearest, deepest hope for recording and listening. That's exactly it. That's when we want people to realize that they can touch into that deep place, whether it's conscious or something that think about or talk about, but just to be in touch with that level of center, of comfort, of presence, how soothing it is.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Mm. Wow.
Sherry, we're going to break here and hear about recording and listening, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that we could live in a conversation about what is true, what is real, what is arising in life in the moment, instead of with the voices of karmic conditioning. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We now have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report finding refuge in my own voice, strengthening the awareness of the mentor, and experiencing the 6 weeks as transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply go to livingcompassion.org. Click on Practice to find 2017 programs and then recording and listening training. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence this year with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And that was a great reminder, Sherry.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Talk about on cue.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And here's our next caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Mark from Chicago.
Well, hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Hi, you know, I have a good, I'm doing good, thank you. I have a question about what I kind of call intrusive thoughts. So I'm very happy with my the tool set and the progress I've made dealing with the kinds of thinking that I think we've called noodling or just kind of drifting off into the ozone. But I have these experiences where something initiates a thought that, and I'll call it shocking for lack of a better word. So if I see an animal that's run over in the road when I'm driving, my mind kind of goes to, oh boy, you know, that what happened to that poor animal, and you know, must have been awful. You know, I could give you lots of examples, but that's a category of thought, and I'm not really sure what to do with that, you know, how to come back from that.
Uh-huh. And so is that a good example?
That's actually a really good example, because it's I have issues with things surrounding animals, and so it frequently involves that. You know, to make a long story short, I saw, you know, things involving animals when I was a kid that were really upsetting, and so that this has been sort of a deal for me my whole life, and it's one of the things that still intrudes on me when I see things. So, for example, I'm so sensitive to that I can't give a vaccination to one of our animals. You know, I'd rather call the vet, pay him $100 to give a goat a shot than to do it myself, because I think about, oh, the poor animal, he doesn't understand this, it hurts him, and you know, it just takes me away in thinking about the animal.
Yeah, I actually do know what you mean, Mark. There was a point, actually, this was before I started practice, when if I saw an animal dead by the side of the road, I became so incapacitated that I would have to pull over. I couldn't drive. I sympathize greatly. And I don't know if this will be helpful, but this is where it went for me. And that is to realize that what was happening with me is that I so identified with that experience.
I was not, I left the animal completely and went to a place of feeling that I am that animal.
Yes.
And yes, you're right there with me. So
yes.
The place that was most, that tortured me most was the shock of it. You know, to just be going along in life. I can still barely say this without, without the tears coming, but to be going along in life so innocently and then boom, just the horror, the shock, the just from nowhere to have this thing happen. And when I realized that I was not actually talking about the animal, I was talking about me, then I had a way to be with that. When I followed that projection back, I could be with what was actually having that experience.
Okay.
So with the goat, we don't know what the goat is experiencing, right? Probably far less than we are, because we know there's a shot, there's a big needle, it's going to hurt. You're going to, you know, so this whole progression that we go through with it is not something the goat is doing.
Right.
In the same way that creature going across the road was not clinging to life the way I do, was not imagining a huge future in which all of these things are, was not thinking how horrible it would be to die.
Yeah.
That's something we're doing. And we're pretty sure they're not. Now, we can't prove that, but we can be pretty sure they're not doing that. So to bring it back to where is that suffering actually happening and acknowledge that I'm not suffering over that creature. I'm projecting my suffering on to that creature.
And by suffering, do you mean my projection of my own fear of death and having a painful, awful experience like I imagine the animal did? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yes. And in that way, I don't ever have to face it in me. I don't have to address it in me. I don't have to make peace with any of that in me. I just project it out onto the creature and then have the relationship that I have with the projection.
Yes. So I kind of see the system that you're describing. What would you describe as an effective way to remove myself from that train of thought?
Well, to resolve the issue in you.
Okay. Okay.
To recognize, to acknowledge that it's your experience. It's an experience that you're having that you are abandoning in order to focus attention on the creature. And when you bring it back to you, now what is that experience like for you? What, yes, the fear of pain, the fear of death, the fear of suddenly not existing, whatever that is, can you begin to make peace with that? Take it out of a conversation in conditioned mind that is always designed to torture and bring it into a real experience that you are having in the moment. What is that experience?
Right. So let me ask what you would think of this. I mean, I see, you know, so I'm driving down the road, I see a dead animal. I pull over and I just sit and reflect on what's really
yes.
going on with me.
Yes, not think about, Mark.
not think about, but stay with the experience, the sensations in the body.
Okay.
What's actually triggering those thought patterns, the feelings that you have learned to try to get away from, because generally for most of us it's because we're afraid they're going to be too painful to stand. So what is that you have learned to try to escape from by projecting it out onto something else?
That's a really great observation, because as I'm getting older, I think about the thing that I fear most is being out of control of my health and not being able, being incapacitated or something really bad,
yeah,
as opposed to dying. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of not dying. And so I actually entertain the thought of, geez, maybe I should get to a point where I just take my own life to avoid the risk of having to get into that situation.
Yes. Much better, I would say, to make peace with it now.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a fast sentence. But how we do that, how we make peace with, is to learn to be all right with whatever is. And
yes,
a huge part of that, at least for me, and so I offer it to you, a huge part of that is learning to see everything that happens as an opportunity to face a fear and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know that you will be all right no matter what happens, now you're at peace.
Yeah.
That nothing is going to happen to you that you won't be able to stand. And the way we prove that to ourselves is by facing moment by moment everything that arises and learning that we are all right with it. We can't face it. Now, of course, a big part of that is that what ego does with us, what conditioning does, is try to get us to avoid everything that it says we won't be able to stand.
Yes.
We don't want to do that.
Right.
So when we hear that kind of information, we want to go into that. That's the place that we want to experience so that we prove to ourselves it's okay. I can stand it. It's all right. I can be here. I can offer loving kindness. I can choose unconditional love in this circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, thanks very much. I actually posted a question to the Socratic email thing that's going on right now about fear, and a part of that was related to this whole thing with animals. So this is very helpful, because I can see that that's got more to do with me now than the animal.
yeah, and having the experience with the goat, that's a good one, okay? Because you're giving that goat that shot to help him, to take care of him.
Right.
He doesn't know that, but you know it. And so it takes us to that place of taking care of children. We have to do all kinds of things with children that they hate, but we know why we're doing it. And so we learn to be all right with that.
Yeah, it's interesting that I even have the same thing with myself. I mean, I can't watch when somebody gives me a shot. I fainted in the doctor's office twice, because I get myself so cranked up about, I don't even know what I'm so, excited about. But I have the same sort of fear of what's going to happen, and, I shouldn't be feeling like this, and why am I feeling like this? And it's just the same sort of thing. Oh,
Mark, hello? I think we may have lost Sherry there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll hang on a bit and see if you get her back, and if not.
Yeah, hold on a sec there.
I heard a little click. Oh, there she is.
Gosh.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, Sherry. Okay.
There
you are.
I have phone karma today, and it's
Welcome
not
back.
Good.
Okay, well, thank you very much. This was very helpful, Sherry.
All right. So you'll go with this and then let me know, huh?
Yes, I will.
Okay. All right, great. We'll keep looking at it. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, good night to both of you.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Mark and Sherry. That was another great conversation, looking deeply, and as always, so helpful when we bring it back to what's going on with me.
Yeah. Yeah, and it always comes down to that, doesn't it? And not in an ego way, right? There's the, it's all about me from an ego perspective, and then there's, it's all about me from a responsibility perspective.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
from a going beyond ego perspective.
Yes, yes, yes. And as you've reminded us many times, you know, all of a sudden it becomes a lot more manageable when I'm just, you know, looking at myself and not needing to rearrange the content of the world until I'm happy.
Yes. What a great point, Michael. So much easier to make me happy than to alter the entire world to accomplish that. That is a very good point. And it's one that it's easy for us to forget, isn't it? Or to lose sight of, or however we do that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sherry from San Francisco.
Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hello, hello, you guys. This has been such a great show. It's so wonderful. And I also am calling just to say a huge thank you for the current email class.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I want to say, you know, what I was thinking about it today, that there's something absolutely wonderful about the fact that there's not a, you know, quote unquote, like, topic or, you know, theme to it, because what I've gotten to see is that it's all one process, right?
Yes. Can you say a little more about that?
Well, yeah, like, I think I can sometimes get bamboozled. Like, say we were doing an email class on money. I think that I can get bamboozled to think that it's about money. But in a class like this, when we're all, you know, everybody's just bringing whatever they're looking at, and we really get a chance to see, I mean, I read through them, and it's like, we're, you know, we're talking about different content, but we're really, it's always like, turn your attention away from the yammering, you know, turn your attention to what you love, turn your attention to life, get present in life. Like, we're all practicing the same process, even though, we, you know, it looks different.
That's right. To each one of us caught in our content, it seems really unique.
Yes.
And I will confess, this is only class 3 that we're just starting, that I get challenged to say something different.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Right? Because it's exactly what you said. It is, it's this, we're all in the same process, and the answer is the same for all of us. Right?
But,
it is.
The beautiful thing is, first of all, that you do find ways to say it differently so that, you know, we get like a little, like, you know, it's like a kaleidoscope of the same thing, but we get to see it a little differently, each response.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
But, I mean, that's true. And to me, the power of it has been that, like, there's something, so first of all, I feel totally non-separate. So So sometimes I'm reading responses and I think I wrote them, and then I'm like, oh, wait, no minute, I didn't. That's not even my topic. You know, it's like.
Yes, I could have written it, right? I didn't, but I could have.
Right. And so there's a total non-separation of that. It's just like almost like we're all just the same, you know, living being practicing the same thing. And I just, there's something about, I don't know, I just love it.
Oh, I think it's the best. And I do, I agree with you. It's the power of doing something. You know, I'm doing that other retreat, that regular money retreat, and that's what everybody gets to with that, is that because we're all doing the same thing, how we are becomes really clear.
Aha! Yes,
the resistance, yes. The voices, the bamboozles, it gets really clear because we're all doing the same thing. So if we're all going to learn to choreograph a ballet, assuming not too many of us have done that, then everything about how we are, what we believe, the voices we listen to, is going to be really obvious to us. Because it's not like, well, I'm trying to, you know, train a soccer team and you're trying to jump out of an airplane and somebody else is, because then it's easy for us to believe, well, of course it's different. You know,
right.
This is soccer. You're jumping out of a plane. What do those have to do with each other? Right? But when we're all doing exactly the same thing, then how we are gets really clear. Right? And then we get to see that while the specifics of it, the details of it might differ person to person, the process is exactly the same. Right?
Yeah.
We're all listening to negative voices tell us ridiculous stuff about ourselves, trying to convince us that there's something wrong, that there's something wrong with us, and that what we need to learn to do is get out of that conversation and get present, choose to be, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, it is kind of funny in a way. Like, I've certainly chuckled to myself a lot, especially over the last, like, year or so. Like, it is the same, and yet it's, you know, there's so much to see. It's like, there's so much to see.
Yes.
There's so much to practice. There's
yes.
always some new subtle angle on it. But I love the simplicity of it, really. I think that that's the thing about this practice.
Yes, and I think what else you're saying that's so important for all of us is if I think it's about me, and if I'm taking it personally, and I believe that the voices actually, I mean, the voices could be wrong about all of you, but there really is something wrong with me, and if I listen to these voices for long enough, they're going to explain it to me in a way that I can understand, and then I'll be able to do something about fix myself, and then I'll be okay, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right. as we get over that, the whole thing just becomes fascinating. With what we're talking about, how does that work? How do we get bamboozled the way we do? How can I see something at 9:30 in the morning and at 10:15 have no idea I ever saw that?
Yes.
How is that possible?
Right.
That's what's really interesting. Yeah, that's way more interesting than my latest sin or crime. But we have to get to that place of seeing the universality of this, that truly we are talking about the human condition.
Yep. In fact, there was one response where you said point blank, this is the human condition. And I just immediately picked up the recorder and recorded it. It was so succinct, like, this is what happens. We have a glorious life. We can't see that glorious life because we're paying attention to these voices. If we don't pay attention to the voices,
we get to see that we have a glorious life. Yeah.
We get to see that we have a glorious life. Like,
yeah.
That's... Yeah, And I think, you know, that that's maybe for me too, you know, and I feel so grateful for having practiced a lot of years that it's like, it took a long time, and that's fine, but it took a long time to really understand how universal this all is. And I read these responses, and I just like, oh, I love you, I love you. I love everybody because they're just these beautiful people practicing their hearts out, and I'm one of them.
Yes, yes, yes. And here's the other thing that we got to get. It is not taking a long time.
It's not.
Now, I could say of all the people listening to this, I'm probably in the it took longer club, okay? And no, it's not a long time. I think Joshu, was it Joshu? I think was the guy who awakened when he was 80. Right, he started teaching at 100 or something like that, and he taught till he was 120. These old Chinese guys, you know, they seem to be long livers, yeah. And so, you know, I mean, somebody might have said, "Well, what took you so long?" But 80 years to awaken—that's not a long time. You know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years to see how life works and to be free of that suffering, that's not a long time. That's nothing. It's the Buddha saying what's greater? What's greater? All the water and all the rivers and lakes and ponds and rivers and oceans of the world, or all of the tears that you have shed in lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of suffering? The tears win. No. We are on the fast track here. We are doing astoundingly well.
Oh, I love that. And just, you know, as you were saying that, I, you know, suddenly was just like, you know, even from the first time I can remember that I ever, like, heard you speak, and I think I understood one thing out of, you know, everything, but still there was that one thing. It didn't, like, so it's like even in that very first experience of practice, there is freedom. There has always been. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And all we're doing, as Ashwini says, all we're doing is calibrating. So there's that first moment for you, the first moment for me, probably everybody can recall at least a first moment when there was that of possibility, right? The lights brighten. Oh, now we're calibrating. Now we're coming back to it. Now we're clearing away everything between us and that light. That's what we're doing. Yeah. And, as we realize that, then it's that place that we were just talking about with Mark. Now you start looking for the places. Okay. What needs light? We need to shine the light there. Shine the light there. Shine the light there. Because we want the lights. The lights are coming on. They're coming on everywhere. Yeah.
Right.
Very exciting.
I just want one last thing, because I know we have to go because we're late. But one thing about that, too, is that for me, that has made all the difference in the world, is that knowing that I'm carrying the light with me, like that it's not, you know, it's never pitch dark.
You are the light.
Because, yeah.
You are the light, right. And that's what we're recognizing, each and every one of us. That's what we're getting. That's who we are. That's what we are. We are that light. Mm-hmm.
Well, hallelujah. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah, sister. Praise be. All right.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Hallelujah, brother.
Hallelujah is about all I can say after that conversation and great show.
Oh, it's a great time, isn't it? I just love it. I'm with Sherry. It's just love. Love, 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 love in every direction.
Love, 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 love. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's do it again,
Michael.
Next week, then.
All right. I'm in. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.